Okay, so we started the week off very strong on Bitcoin and actually on altcoins. But the truth is that now we're actually facing a big test. If we pass this test, we're gonna go to 120,000 on Bitcoin very quickly, and we're gonna get this Uptober or Moonvember or Bullsember or whatever you wanna call it, and Solana will get to $1,000. If we don't pass this test, then we're going back down and we're gonna get another period of chop. So I'm gonna show you what the test is. I'm then gonna show you how Solana gets to $1,000, and then I'm gonna show you two altcoin calls that are absolutely gonna blow your mind. You wanna watch this, you really wanna watch this. See a lot of you in the comments asking, how did he get home so quickly? I'm not home, I'm still in Singapore, I'm still in the hotel room. Bring you amazing crypto love and crypto wisdom with the markets kind of pumping. I mean, we've got some great altcoin news, great altcoin calls. Just look at the AI sector. The AI sector is going absolutely crazy. I'll show you why the AI sector is going absolutely crazy. And I don't think it's too late to actually be buying this AI sector. So that's probably going to be absolutely something we're going to talk about today. Also going to show you how Solana does get to $1,000, or why I said Solana is going to $1,000 and may actually get there a lot sooner than expected. Then I'm going to show you how I get to this number of Bitcoin going to 120,000. I'm going to show you exactly when it gets there. So, got a big show. What we need from you is very simple. Number one, I need you guys to subscribe to the channel. We're at nearly 1.1 million subscribers. Then the second thing I need you guys to do is, a lot of you started farming for Ton Station, which is that project that Elio and Alex Becker are involved with. Now, a little birdie came to me, and the little birdie in Singapore told me that they're extending the farming period. So if you want to get some of this project, now I'm not going to play this with volume because it's called Ton Station. It's a gaming marketplace on Ton. Alex and Elio are actually directly involved in this. If you want to get in there, the time to actually farm this has been extended. Now, I don't know until when it's been extended, but I do know it's been extended past October 7th when it was supposed to happen. If you want to go there, just quickly go here, and I'll show you exactly where it is. Under the show, there is a link.
But I do know it's been extended past October 7th.
Hold on. So there is a link. There is a link over here which says Ton Station. Just go and download it. When you download it, just participate and you will get free airdrops. You don't have to pay. You don't have to do anything like that. Anyway, let's get to the meat and potatoes on the show, because today we've got a lot to discuss. And I do have a plane to catch to get back to South Africa. So tomorrow I can bring you again crypto love and crypto wisdom, but this time from South Africa. And I did say to you that Bitcoin and altcoins, in fact, crypto has a massive, massive, massive test this week. And I'll show you where this theory of the crypto test is coming in. So last week, what we know is that we had a very, very, very good week on Bitcoin. You see, we're back in the 63,000s. In fact, this morning when the markets opened, I don't know how many of you were awake, but we almost tagged $65,000 on Bitcoin. Now, that's amazing. And what that has done is it was also a very, very, very good week for altcoins. Just look at the week that we had for altcoins. You've got Tau, BitTensor are up 80%. You've got Sui up 38.8%. Immutable X up 45%. Phantom up 25%. Aptos was up 36%. By the way, did you guys catch the Aptos trade? Because I gave it to you last week. I told you there'd be an Aptos catch-up trade to Sui. Josh, someone says the Ton link doesn't work. If we could just check that Ton link. A lot of people are saying that Ton link doesn't work. If we could just get the right Ton link. Last week was amazing. It was amazing for Bitcoin. It was amazing for altcoins. But the reason why last week was so amazing wasn't because of crypto. The reason why last week was so amazing, because last week we had two big things. One happened for liquidity assets or risk assets, and one happened for altcoins specifically. So when it comes to liquidity and risk assets, of course, last week was the big rate cut week. We got the double rate cut, which a lot of people were caught off guard for. And so what actually happened last week was, last week everything rallied. Last week it was Bitcoin. Look at the Nasdaq. The Nasdaq was 10% up in a week. That's crazy. 10% up in 1 week for the Nasdaq is absolutely crazy. Just look at gold. I mean, even gold reaching all-time highs last week. So last week doesn't really count, right? The test is whether for Bitcoin and for risk assets, we can keep running even on the week where there's no rate cuts, or if we're going to get some kind of hangover. Now, believe me, I know what a hangover feels like, because yesterday we were at the Formula One and I went to the after party, which is at a place called the Amber Lounge. And that's why I look like I look today. A lot of people are commenting that I look like shit. I understand. And I'm drinking a lot of water. But last week was like the party week.
And what we're going to make sure is we're going to make sure that this week we don't get the hangover. Last week was a party week, not only because for crypto, it wasn't only because of the rate cuts. The rate cuts were amazing and they carried all risk assets over to go higher. As I mentioned to you last week, I said, because the rate cuts happened, everyone is moving further down the risk curve. Everyone wants to take more risks to get more returns because the $6.5 trillion that's sitting in money markets has to now come into equity markets. So equity markets have to go into private equity markets. Private equity markets are looking for more risk. And so everyone's moving down the risk curve, right? So that's what happened last week. But also last week for altcoins, we had Token 2049, we had Solana Breakpoint, we had the Sui Builder House. And so that is why I warned you before the beginning of last week that we were going to get a massive pump in altcoins. And if you look at what happened, we got exactly that massive pump in altcoins, pretty much exactly as I called it at the beginning of the week. By the way, I think I forgot to tell you guys to smash the like button because I see the ratio of likes to normal is I need you guys to smash a like button. Then I'm going to give you guys some more crypto love and crypto wisdom. Someone says, is there a Colombian hangover? There's no Colombian flu in Singapore. Apparently, if you do that in Singapore, you go to jail and you get caned. And I think it's not a good idea to do stuff like that in Singapore. Carry on smashing the like button. Guys, I don't know what's going on here. I don't know. Maybe the like button's broken where you live. I'm about to give you a lot of alpha. So as I said, we're facing a test. And the test is, can we continue to pump even when there is no rate cut, and even when there is no Token 2049. For Bitcoin, we have to see, can we run if there's no rate cut? For altcoins, we have to see, can we run if there's no Token 2049 and 1,000 announcements? Because what happened last week is every altcoin that was worth their weight in gold just kept a whole lot of announcements in the bag because they knew that a Token 2049 and a Breakpoint was the best time to announce the hype, right? To ride the wave with everybody else. Question is, can we hold it this week? If we hold it this week, then we're golden. If not, then it could have just been another fake pump, which is like the party, and then and this week is the hangover. So like last night was the party, and this week is effectively the hangover. So that's the test that Bitcoin and altcoins have to go through. So how are we doing in the test? That's the big question. Well, this morning when I woke up, we were doing very, very, very well in the test. We had Bitcoin up. Let me go to the 4-hour chart just so you could see. We had Bitcoin kissing that 64,800 level. And so what we thought was amazing. We may actually pass the test, but that was a false alarm. That was a false alarm. And the reason why that was a false alarm is a few things happened. The first thing is that the degens started to short Bitcoin over the weekend, okay? I mean, these people are mental. You do not short Bitcoin over the weekend because if you do, you're going to get wasted. Specifically, there's one time in the year where I would never, ever, ever short Bitcoin. And I'll tell you, like, I don't really believe in shorting crypto unless I know for sure we're in some kind of bear market. But there is specifically one time where I'm not going to short Bitcoin. And I'll tell you when that one time is, right? That one time is in Q4. I will never short Bitcoin in Q4. Ever, ever, ever. It's a bad idea to short Bitcoin in Q4. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell the people that got liquidated last night. In fact, you don't need to tell them because they're gone. They're not in the market anymore. Do not short Bitcoin in Q4. And the reason why we never, ever, ever short Bitcoin in Q4 is because the average, get this, the average return for Bitcoin in Q4 is 88%. You understand that, like, they're talking about the average since 2013, the average return for Bitcoin is 88%. Now, I don't know if it's really the smartest idea in the world. We're a couple of days away from Q4. So we are now in September 23rd. We're a week away from Q4, right? 1 week away from Q4, you don't want to be taking a chance that you're going to get caught in the short, because what you know is that you know that the average return for Bitcoin for Q4 is 88%, where the average for Bitcoin in Q3 was 6%, right? So what is the smart money doing? The smart money says the people that have been here for a long time, I want to just quickly show you this, the long-term Bitcoin holders, over the past 2 months, long-term Bitcoin holders accumulated more Bitcoin than in any other period in the past 3 years. And someone knows something. They don't know something. They're just looking at a chart. And the chart says the following. Q3 returns are 6.05%. Therefore, Q3 is the worst quarter for Bitcoin. Q4 returns are, on average, 88%. And therefore, if you buy in Q3 and you hold in Q4, you will make a lot of money. And so, I mean, the reason why they call them the long-term holders, the reason why the long-term holders have been buying more Bitcoin over the last 2 months than in any other period in the past 3 years, is because they are smart enough to just go to CoinGlass and realize that Q3 is generally very bad and Q4 has an average return of 88%. But if you look at 2020, which was the last election year, which was after COVID, which was when we started with the stimulus and the rate loosening cycle, the Q4 return was actually 168%. Therefore, my big warning to all of you is don't short Bitcoin before Q4. And specifically, don't short Bitcoin anytime in the near future, because tomorrow Bitcoin will be 161 days after halving. In 2020, that is the exact day that it broke out. And when it broke out in 2020, what you got was 168.02% in 3 months. So what I'm trying to say to you here is that I think it's a very, very, very bad idea to be shorting. Very, very, very bad idea to be shorting. So rest in peace, anyone that shorted yesterday. And my advice to you is don't short Bitcoin in Q4, because we could be getting an 88% return. And if we get an 88% return in Q4, then we do get to Bitcoin at 120,000 before the end of the year. We get to Bitcoin at 120,000 before the end of the year. You got to think to yourself, what's going to happen to the altcoins, right? I mean, if you think about altcoins, like, this is where we are with altcoins. We're pretty much, like, from a retail point of view, we're in a bear market. Like, I mean, Ben Kahn said it. He said, viewership to various crypto YouTube channels still remains relatively low, especially compared to 2021. It's interesting how the price of Bitcoin is basically the same as it was in 2021, but social interest is a lot lower. What he's saying here is that where we are at now is where there are no retail investors. Okay, I can tell you this from a YouTube point of view, which is probably the ultimate benchmark of retail investors. I can tell you that this is the worst it's ever been. We've got a very, very, very loyal base. That's how we got to 1.1 million subscribers at this period of the year. But generally, YouTube views have been very, very, very bad for most channels, and most people have actually tapped out. What you got to appreciate, though, is even though we've had like the worst period in a long, long, long time in crypto, and as I say, probably one of the worst periods that I've ever had to make content in, like really one of the worst periods that I've ever had to make content in, you got to take a minute to appreciate what has actually happened this year. Now, on our banter bubbles, we have this feature where you can pop the bubble. So I want to remove Woof, and I'm going to remove Brett, and I'm going to remove Popcat, and I'm going to remove Bonk. And I'm going to show you some of the year's returns. Like, look at Mantra, which is one of the ones we told you about, 5,764%. Solana's up 637%. Tau is up 903%. Solana's up actually twice, Josh. I don't know if you've noticed this, but Solana's actually up twice. Once it's up 638%, and then once it's up 637%. Injective is up 209%. This is when we are, I'm not going to say in a bear market, but I'm going to say this is what we've achieved before Bitcoin actually pumps into Q4 with the 88%. So the question then is, if we can achieve that when crypto searches at an all-time low, Bitcoin searches are at an all-time low, if we can achieve this, then it feels like Q4 is going to be like amazing. I'm not going to say retirement. I think retirement is maybe pushing it a little bit too far. Like, I think retirement is maybe a little bit too far. But I do think that we do have an Uptober. I do think that we have a Moonvember. And I do think that we have a Bullsember. If everything goes according to plan. And I believe it will go according to plan, because remember, we've got the big catch-up trade to gold. We've got the big catch-up trade to the NASDAQ. We've got a whole lot of big catch-up trades. So I do think that shorting Bitcoin now is probably a really, really, really critical mistake. I do think that we will get this 88% or so, or at least let's just be average. You know, like I've never said ever that you should be average, but I mean, you know, like maybe this time we'll just be average. I'm not a big fan of average, but it could be a good idea just to be average. That's what it is. So I think that that's what you got to look out for in Q4. Look out for to see if we just land up being average. And if we do, then I believe that the bears are cooked, as Cyclone says, and we go to Valhalla. That's basically what it is. Adnan says Bullsember seems good. I agree. I think Bullsember seems absolutely, absolutely amazing. Glenn says fundamentals. It's fantastic, the mentals, bro. Fantastic, the mentals. Someone says bears are cooked. Yeah, they are. Bears are definitely cooked. I wouldn't be, again, don't be shorting Bitcoin at this time. Look, one of the reasons that the market may have actually gone up, believe it or not, I mean, this is good. Hold on to your seats now, right? One of the reasons that Bitcoin may have had this little pumpy. I mean, it's not a real pump. It's a pumpy, this one. The reason why, I mean, there could be a reason why we got pumpy. And that's because, believe it or not, Kamala Harris actually spoke. And she spoke about crypto for the first time because she had to. And what did she say? She says, we will encourage innovative technologies like AI and digital assets. But then she said, while protecting consumers and investors. So what you can see, someone says the amuse-bouche. You see, this is a guy who's been watching our show for a long time. It's the amuse-bouche of the, this, you know, for those of you who don't know what the amuse-bouche is, the amuse-bouche is when you go to a very fancy restaurant and they give you like a starter before the starter. That's what you call the amuse-bouche. It's like, it's a small dish. Usually tastes very good, but it's like the starter, before the main meal. So if you look at this week, you could get, we could say that this is the amuse-bouche of the bull market, right? So as I said to you, the reason, one of the reasons, potentially, run that hair. Yeah, guys, I mean, today we're not talking about the hair. It's a bad day. It's after an after party. Lewis, I hear you about the hair. It was a Formula One after. I went to Formula One yesterday. Then we went to the after party. Then I stayed at the after party extremely late. Then I woke up very early in the morning because I had lots of meetings here in Singapore. But I still decided to bring you crypto love and crypto wisdom. And I'm going to drink water. Onisim says, a moose bush is just a tip. He's got it, bro. He's got it. Glenn Goldberg says, 90 days of haze incoming. You can't get baked here. You should get baked here. Yeah. Anyway, we need to get back to business, guys. Because I mean, we could sit here and read comments all day long, but we need to get back to business, I think. No Diddy freak out party. No, there's no Diddy freak out party here. It's not milk. It's water, guys. It's water. Alkaline water. It's alkaline water. Ron looks like he lost weight. Nah, not after last night. All right. Can we get back to the show? Do you want to get back to the show, or should we just talk about the comments? Okay, let's get back to the show. So, yes, can I help you? Someone's knocking at my door. And they come for like that turn down service or whatever they call it. Anyway, let's get back to it. So the reason, one of the reasons why Bitcoin could have had that little pumpy was because Kamala Harris actually said, we will encourage innovative technologies like AI and digital assets. Okay, so what, I mean, when Kamala Harris says that, I mean, I think that, I don't think crypto believes her, because the reason why crypto will never believe her is because during Kamala and Joe Biden's term in office, this is what's going on, right? So like, I don't think anyone believes them when she says that. And of course she is, like someone says, Jesus, you guys are so stupid. Trump's entire cabinet holds Bitcoin, speaks in almost every major conference, engages the industry. But you dumb fucks go crazy over Kamala saying in a fundraiser that her goal, where her goal is to actually raise money. Doesn't matter. So that could have pumped Bitcoin. But what it did do, because again, read her statement again. We will encourage innovative technologies like AI and digital assets. So what would pump, ladies and gentlemen? AI and digital assets. So is because what you can see is, you can see AI fetch, AI tau, AI GRT, AI WorldCoin, AI near. So Kamala actually gave us a pump. She gave us a AI and digital asset pump, believe it or not. I mean, I know it sounds crazy that Kamala would start an AI and digital asset pump. Truth is, though, I don't actually know if this was a Kamala pump. And I'll tell you why I don't know if it's a Kamala pump. Last week, we did see Tau, which is BitTenzo. We did see BitTenzo actually running. Look how beautiful this new bubble site is. It's absolutely amazing. It's you can see the 1 week here. Let's look at the 1 week here. So look at the pump in the last week on BitTenzo, on Tau. It did start running a week ago. And the thing with Tau is that Tau is the big AI play. It's like the one with the most supporters. It's the one Vitalik spoke about. It's the one with the biggest exposure to AI is Tau. And so maybe what we learn here is that when Tau starts running, then all the other AI coins will typically follow. Maybe that's the lesson that we take out of this. Because what you can see here, if you look at the sector performance last week, you know, for a change, what you saw is that actually AI was the best performer. And it wasn't actually meme coins. In fact, look where meme coins are. Meme coins like were the worst performers in the last week. And the best performer was actually AI. So what I think's happened here is I think that number one, I think the market's got meme coin fatigue. And we'll talk about meme coin fatigue in a couple of seconds. Because I do think if you hold meme coins, you should be reevaluating your life and your existence in crypto, basically. But what we're also learning here is we're learning, oh, my back is itchy. We are learning that that AI, basically when Tau runs, AI runs. Now, of course, Tau has the strongest cult, the strongest network effects. They also are launching smart contracts. I think now, like this week, they are launching smart contracts. So Tau does have something going on. Vitalik also spoke about it last week. I did see a lot of people. One person in front runners, so get this, one of the guys in front runners, Kapoor, actually said, like, he said this morning, he said, my favorite ones are Near, Arweave, and Render. So he saw this actually coming. He saw that that this is actually coming. Someone says Tuka is the best performing meme. Tuka is the most undervalued meme. But it doesn't matter. It's just we want memes to go down. We want memes to go down so that we can, the lower Tuka goes, the more we'll buy. The lower Bait goes, the more we'll buy. Yeah, we'll talk about meme coins later. But what you can see is that there is an AI narrative that's actually running. It could be a Carmela pump, or it could be that people have just got meme fatigue. People don't want to be in meme coins anymore. People want to be out of the meme coins, and they actually want to go into real players. And I think that that's one of the things that's actually happening, and I will actually show you in a second what's going on. So I did say to you earlier, I said that there's a big test for Bitcoin, and there's a big test for altcoins, right? Remember I said that there's a big test for Bitcoin and a big test for altcoins. Bitcoin did quite well this morning, but still lots got quite a way to go to say it's passed the test. Altcoins, I mean, look, people are getting excited about a very, very, very small drop in dominance, right? Like, but the dominance has still got to drop a long way. But there is something here that actually tells me that we're at an inflection point. This is Total 3, right? Total 3 is at that resistance point. And we could break out of this resistance point. And I think I drew it for you last week. Just to show you did I draw it for you on this chart last week? There we go. You see, we could be at that resistance point. We could. We just have to break through, and we have to break through with size. In the meantime, though, what we are getting is we're getting an amazing, amazing, amazing week on the altcoins, right? So kind of like if we can pass the test, if we can keep the momentum, if we can get through this, then maybe this altcoin run actually carries on going, right? Now, I want to just give a shout out here, right? Earlier on today, Josh tweeted and he said, do you want to see a magic trick? He says, your favorite Twitter accounts will start talking about AR very soon. Now, I don't know where he got the information from. But I guess he saw this breakout coming over here and he actually tweeted about it, okay? Actually, I think I do know where he got the information from. So let me tell you where he got the information from, right? I'll tell you where. Josh is smart, okay? He's a young guy. He's very, 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 very smart, okay? I think he's also smart enough to do sniper school. So what I think he did was, right, I think so. He's driving the show here. So if this is wrong, then he'll just jump on and tell us that he's wrong. But I think what he did was he went to here and he signed up for Sheldon Sniper School.
My aha moment was when I woke up one morning and I'm looking and everything's red. And I said, you know what? I love this because this is a perfect opportunity that I'm in and I'm learning.
I think that's one of the biggest realizations. It's like, hey, red means learn, right? Learn now, keep going. We have more time, right? We have a little bit more time for when money.
So that's Sniper School. It's the most awesome school you can do. It's free and you can actually get in. All you need to do to get in, you go to... and you join the sniper school. But the thing is, you don't have a lot of time, right? You don't have a lot of time because classes starts in one day. So you have one day to go and sign up. So go and sign up as quickly as possible. It's free, okay? It's free. And I think that's why Josh said, if you want to see a magic, because I think he saw this breakout. Now, all of this you'll learn in Sheldon Sniper School. All of this for free, Sheldon Sniper. Just go and do it. It's free. Just go and do it. Go and sign up. It's like the one opportunity you're going to get to sign up. Anyway, the other thing he said was, and he's right about this one too. He said, now everyone is talking about what a good player Sui is when he called it 168% ago. And he did. He did call it. I mean, for me, I always verify shit because he did call it. Like you can see, here's his tweet from July 4th. Okay, I think you should follow him. His name is Josh Is Trading, Josh the Trader. But you can see, here's proof of work. He said July 4th, he said this is the pattern that he expects for SUI. Now he's saying that SUI is 168% up. Everyone's starting to talk about it. If they're telling you how good SUI is now, you might actually be the exit liquidity. Now, to be honest, I agree with him 50%. I don't agree with him 100%. The reason why I say I agree with him only 50%, okay, is because I think in principle he's right. Last week was a very, 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 very big week for SUI. But I said to you in the beginning of the show, this is the real test. Here we separate the men from the boys, because there are going to be two types of altcoins. Some altcoins are going to arrive at the party, or arrived at the party last week with a bag full of announcements. And what they did was they created a whole lot of hype. And what's going to happen a week after the hype is there's going to be a hangover. Other coins arrived last week with a bunch of real announcements, and they're going to continue the momentum. Now, that is where we're going to separate the boys from the men. Those that went up and start parachuting all the way down, those are not the real strong altcoins. They failed the test. There are some altcoins which may carry on their momentum. Now, it's not going to be a straight lineup. Forget it. It's not going to be a straight lineup. But there will be coins that actually keep their momentum. Now, I think one of those coins that might actually keep the momentum is SUI. Why? Because these guys have been operating. So they were smart. They came to Token 2049. They had the SUI dev house or whatever. I don't remember what, their builder's house. I called it a builder's house. And they made a whole lot of announcements. I think for me, the biggest announcements were obviously Circle launching on SUI. The other one which I liked was Walrus. So Walrus is like their version of Arweave. It's on-chain storage on SUI. Okay, so you're actually storing on-chain. For the more technical people, you'll know that that's quite a big thing. But what they did was they created a whole lot of partnerships before and a whole lot of partnerships during September. Now, the big test is to see whether they can actually keep this momentum, right? A lot of people are saying that they can keep the momentum. I mean, as I said to you, there was Walrus, which was announced, which is Walrus is the white paper, which was unveiled. There's 900 million total, almost $1 billion TVL. But a lot of people are now saying, like, look, you know, SUI is giving you Solana 2021 vibes. And of course, there are a lot of similarities between SUI and Solana, because every year, every cycle, not every year, every cycle, we get a what I call the breakout coin, the breakout layer one. This cycle, we haven't had the breakout layer one. There is no layer one that is broken out. Solana is last cycle's breakout layer one. And now there may be another one. Now, that could be SUI. I haven't written Aptos off at all. In fact, I did tell you last week that you should watch for the Aptos pump, because look at these charts. Your charts are identical. You got to make a call. You got to do your own research. You got to keep your eyes on SUI and Aptos, because there's going to be a breakout chain. It's going to be SUI or Aptos, or it can be SUI and Aptos. I don't know, but you got to keep your eyes on this thing, right? Because there's always going to be some kind of catch-up trade. But so on the one hand, I agree with Josh. Like, am I buying more SUI at $1.57? No. Why? Because I bought it at much, much, much cheaper when I told you guys to buy it. That's when I bought it. And if you follow that advice, I think you would have made a lot of money, right? Or you must have made a lot of money. Just like if you had followed my advice when I told you to buy Aerodrome in Front Runners. I mean, we've got proof of work here. I told you guys, buy Aerodrome. I told the Front Runners, I said, buy Aerodrome. Okay? And how is Aerodrome doing in the last month? Oh, wow. Look at that. Amazing. Doubled your money. Congratulations. If you want to join Front Runners, you know where to go. You go here. You join the waiting list over here. If you get let in and you want to be out, then great. You go out and you get your money back, and everybody's happy. Anyway, we're not talking about Front Runners now. We're talking about something else. So that is the first thing. So that's the test. The test is to see what. Bro, are you watching porn or are you watching the show?
I'm paying attention, man. I'm doing my homework.
Oh my goodness. Okay, well, that's great. Amazing. So, as I was saying, what we're going to step to see now is which altcoins pass the test and which altcoins don't. SUI can be one that actually passes the test, and there's a lot of tokens that actually could pass the test. I mean, let's see which tokens actually got a pump and actually hold the pump. Let's see if BitTensor actually holds its pump. Let's see if SUI holds the pump. Let's see if Aptos holds the pump. Let's see if Immutable X holds the pump. But then you got a whole lot of coins that haven't run yet, just like the Arweave. Like Arweave hasn't run yet, 13% up. I guess it's probably going to run, probably going to keep going. I did say to you though, that if altcoins actually do pass the test, then Solana goes to $1,000. Simple. Solana goes to $1,000. And I even think that Solana is going beyond $1,000. I got to be honest. I think $1,000 is like now my bottom target for Solana for the end of the cycle. Reason, and I'm not the only one who thinks so, Ansem thinks so too. And I think that anyone who went to Token 2049 actually feels the same way. I mean, I read this and Jason Troy says that Token 2049 felt like a top signal, but Solana breakpoint felt like a bottom signal. Now, what he means there is, Token 2049 was full of retail investors. There were a lot of retail investors. There was a paddle court. There was, in fact, if you want full coverage of Token 2049, in about 5 hours on this channel, I'll drop a video with the most amazing coverage of Token 2049, all the big narratives and everything, all going to be there. 5 or 6 hours from after the show, from the plane in Singapore, I'll drop it. I'll drop it onto the earth and into YouTube, okay? It's going to be amazing coverage. Amazing, amazing coverage. But what he's saying here is he means that Solana breakpoint felt like a bottom. And the reason why Solana breakpoint felt like a bottom is because if you walked around Solana, it was just full of builders. It was just a hive of builders building and building and building. Now, there's a big difference between Solana builders and Ethereum builders. Ethereum builders, when you talk to them, they're there because of legacy. Why are you building on Ethereum? Ah, because lots of total value locked. Ah, because lots of VC funding a long time ago. Ah, because layer two. Solana builders, they're like, no, bro. We need to prove a point. We're the better chain. We're just building like mofos. That's what's basically going on Solana. The other thing that I realized is that whenever you talk about Ethereum, people never talk about, like, have you ever heard anybody in Ethereum talk about consumer applications? No. It's always about like layer two of the layer two and what about the layer two and the layer two, right? When you talk about Solana, all they're talking about is applications. And you know why they're talking about applications? Because they have solved the layer one problem. The layer one problem of speed is completely solved on Solana. And in case you don't believe me that it's completely solved on Solana, let me tell you exactly what happened at Solana Breakpoint. Number one, they announced this thing called FrankenDancer, which is a precursor to FireDancer. FireDancer is the new validator client, which promises to do 1 million TPS. Now, everyone's been waiting to see how we can do 1 million transactions per second, right? They actually ran a demo of FrankenDancer, and then what they did was this. It was like the craziest thing in the whole world. They're like, they were showing a demo of how this thing is doing 1 million TPS. But look.
Attached to it, that is the full FireDancer client. Yes, you heard that right. The full FireDancer client is live on Mainnet.
So what they did was they actually said, okay, well, you know, it's on testnet. No, it's on mainnet. It's in non-voting mode, but it's actually live. So now the Solana people have basically said, look, the truth is, like, while the Ethereum people are talking about scalability and, you know, which layer two is the better layer two of the layer two or the layer two, Solana's basically going, all right, guys, who needs a layer two? Let's just get to the point and get to the next level, which is applications. Because remember, first you build an L1. Then what you do is you build a whole lot of applications. That's why we build blockchains. Ethereum are still talking about layer one, layer two, layer one, layer two. Solana are like, all right, cool. Well, what applications can we build? That's it. Like, Solana is now all about applications and about actual use cases. And that's what Anatoly said. He said, that was an awesome breakpoint, the best one yet. If you all want the same great vibes next year, you need to build profitable businesses. Find customers that love your product. Iterate, iterate, and iterate. So Solana is talking about customers. Ethereum is talking about layer ones. That is the big difference between Solana and Ethereum. And Anatoly is saying, build businesses. Ethereum is still talking about building infrastructure. And that is the big difference between Solana and Ethereum. The Ethereum guys seem to be there because of legacy. And the Solana people are saying, look, we've got a job to do. We're going to get people onto the blockchain. And that's exactly what we're going to do. And that's why people came from PayPal, right?
We've discussed this in past forums, but maybe just kind of starting at first principles. Can you discuss why PayPal decided to issue a stablecoin and why Solana is the second project?
I think it's a three-part answer. PayPal has obviously been in payments for the best part of the last 25 years. And we are in crypto and we are in digital currencies because we are in payments. It's the first time if I myself have been in payments for 20 years. If you look back at fintech innovation, 90% of that has been innovation in UX and innovation in fraud. Not a lot has been innovation.
Long story short, he says crypto is too big for PayPal to ignore. Ethereum isn't fit for payments. We need Solana. And they chose Solana. Then you got Coinbase coming in and saying, listen, Coinbase has a whole lot of Bitcoin, right? And they wrapped the Bitcoin. And what they said is that, I thought it was a video, it's not a video. What they announced was that they're going to bring Coinbase wrapped Bitcoin native to Solana. Now, everyone thought that this was just going to be on Base. But this guy said, no, our users love Solana, and so we're going to build on Solana. Then there was this Play Solana Gen 1 play console that was launched. Then Franklin Templeton came out.
Putting a money fund on chain, quite frankly, sounded kind of cool and sounded fun. So we began that process, and we chose a money fund very specifically because money funds have long been in the transactional economy. There's money funds that have check writing and debit card capabilities built on top of them. And we thought if we wanted to try and use the blockchain efficiently, we want to have as many ledger entries as we possibly could. So we amped up transaction volume even further, not just having a money fund, but a daily paying money fund. Rather than do this in kind of an inauthentic way by hiring an outside vendor to do the tokenization for us, we decided to build our own development team. So we hired a team of engineers who worked tirelessly to build a digital wallet infrastructure, build an on-chain transfer agent, and then we did it. The reason I'm here today and the thing that we're really excited about talking about here at Breakpoint is the 13th step, which is where we filed to develop on Solana natively.
So Franklin Templeton is now developing on Solana natively. Jupiter Exchange, on the first day, made an announcement that you can actually on-ramp using Apple Pay, Google Pay, or credit cards directly onto Jupiter. Okay, so look at the type of announcements that are coming out of Solana and compare them to the type of announcements which are coming out of Ethereum. Like Solana is building the new phone, which is, it's not called the Saga, it's called the Seeker. I think it's called the Seeker phone, which is the new Seeker phone. And so you had a sleuth of announcements, and all these announcements were around mainnets, were around Hive Mapper 5 million plus, they're mapping the roads, right? They've mapped out 327 million kilometers using the thing. Nasana, one of our favorite tokens, launching on mainnet. They're talking about mainnet. This is an AI play, so to speak. Pith Network made an amazingly, amazingly bullish announcement. Okay, now, look, I'm a big fan of Pith. Full disclosure, I hold some Pith. But they made an announcement, and what their announcement was that you got Oracle integrity staking, which means that when you get price feeds, you get integrity staking, which means that if you don't have integrity with your price feed, you get slashed, and that makes the price more accurate. And one of the things you'll see when we do a full Solana video later this week is exactly how all of that works. So that was the nature of the Solana conference, right? And one of the other big announcements that came out of there was that Mooch spoke about real-world assets and real-world asset tokenization. And then what happened was Securitize, which, remember, Securitize is like the BlackRock tokenization agency. It's not owned by BlackRock. I think BlackRock actually invested, though. But they are the BlackRock tokenization agency. And they selected Wormhole as the official interoperability protocol. And there's a reason why I'm talking to you about Wormhole, right? So we've always said to you that like Wormhole is a little bit scary for us. And the reason why it's scary for us is because we don't want the VCs dumping on us. And Wormhole has quite a big fully diluted valuation. In fact, you can see it's got this, it's the same thesis as Drift. I told you guys, specifically the guys in front runners, I told you guys to buy Drift at like 30 cents. Now it's at 72 cents. Now I think we may have another one of these. I don't think you're gonna make like huge money on it. I don't think you're going to triple your money or quadruple your money or stuff like that, not in the short term. But and it does have a fully diluted valuation of $2.3 billion. But what is Wormhole? Wormhole is a bridge. Okay, it's a bridge. It was developed initially by Jump Trading. It's a very high-speed bridge between one protocol and another protocol. You've probably often seen me use Wormhole to show you guys the flows, because it's a bridge, right? So when money goes from Ethereum to Sui, people use Wormhole. Now, what happened here was Securitize announced that they're going to select Wormhole, or they selected Wormhole, the official interoperability partners for real world assets. And that was like one of the big announcements. And I thought, like, would I actually ever buy Wormhole? Because it's at a $2.5 billion valuation. And I don't want to be exit liquidity for the VCs, right? But then I did a little bit more digging. And what I found was the following. I found that the last raise on Wormhole, the last actual raise was actually raised by the VCs, right? And the VCs paid $2.5 billion fully diluted valuation. But the VCs are actually locked up. So what that means is that if you buy it at $2.3 billion, you're buying it cheaper than the last round of the VCs, and you don't have the lockup that the VCs have, right? And so I had the same thesis around Drift. Remember, I said to you, like, when Drift was at 30 cents, I said to you guys, look at Drift because you're buying a coin cheaper than the VCs with no lockup. I think I'm seeing the same thing here again. Now, as I said, you're not going to 10x your money. But this is what the chart of Wormhole looks like. And at some point, it's going to turn around. And when it does turn around, you guys need to be in here. And that's why I think that keep your eyes on this one. I mean, I must be honest, full disclosure, I did take a position. I took a position at exactly this price. The reason why I did take the position is because, hey, if I can get in without a lockup at prices cheaper than the VCs, if Multicoin Capital is willing to pay $2.5 billion and I can get it now at $2.3 billion, and the low is like $1.8 to $1.9 billion, okay, from a risk-reward point of view, and, you know, since Securitize made that announcement, I think probably good to have some in your portfolio. I'm not saying have a lot. You don't have to. This is not the one which is going to give you retirement, but it's going to give you good, stable return if it turns. Now, what do we know about charts that do this? Eventually, they turn. And so that's why I thought this is probably one that I want to give you. I did give you another one, another bridge. I gave you D-Bridge. I don't know if you remember. Remember D-Bridge? D-Bridge is the bridge that allows you to bridge from any chain to any chain. A lot of you are getting airdrops, and the token's going live on the 17th or the 10th. Now, you missed the first airdrop, but if you go here and you use this button over here and you swap money from chain to chain, there is a second airdrop and you will earn on the second airdrop. Now, the first airdrop is probably going to be very, very, very fucking lucrative. So the second one's also good. So both of these fulfill the same kind of function, D-Bridge and Wormhole. They just do it in a very different way. And again, they were at Breakpoint all making announcements. So again, I must say, I bought Wormhole. And when D-Bridge comes out, depending on the valuation, I'm probably going to land up buying some more D-Bridge. But yeah, I think if you want D-Bridge and you don't want to be, just click here and you will go straight to D-Bridge, and you can actually trade from any chain to any chain. So I think, like, there's that narrative of real world assets. There's four plays in that narrative. There's Chainlink, which has got CCIP, which is the cross chain protocol. You've got Axelar. You've got Wormhole. I mean, you can't really say D-Bridge yet. Someone says, we've pumped. Someone says, yeah. Someone says, Gummy dead now. I don't think it's dead. I don't think it's dead, but it is a community coin. It is a community coin. Someone says, we've pumped. I mean, it pumped, but Josh told you it was going to pump. He told you it was like a magic trick. I don't know, Josh, why don't I, let's just ask him. Josh, why do you think they don't listen to you, bro? You said, You said magic trick. You said, like, yeah, wait a second. So he said, look, the guy literally said it, bro. He said, do you want to see a magic trick? Your favorite Twitter accounts will be talking about Arweave. And this is the same guy that bought you Sui on the 4th of July at... Josh, what was the price here, bro?
57 cents.
57 cents you bought it to them. And still, you've only got 15,400 followers. How does that happen, bro?
No idea, bro.
Free nuggets
over there.
Free nuggets. I mean, it's not even nuggets. It's like alpha. It's not even, you can't even call it nuggets, bro. Someone says, Nick Gaston says, Josh sees the future. Josh sees the future, he said. AR going up soon. Okay, amazing. Okay, another one last thing before we go. If you want to challenge me in the, remember I said to you, I'm going to chat when I get back to South Africa. If you want to challenge me in a Bitfinder challenge, go and use the link below to take out a Bitfinder thing. If you beat me, the winner will get an extra $10,000 in the account. But you have to beat me. For those of you who don't know what Bitfinder is, it's a platform which allows you to trade with other people's money. So what you do is you pay $49. You got to pass the stage one and get 8% return. Pass stage two and get 5% return. And if you pass stage one and stage two, you're trading with $5,000 of other people's money and you keep 90% of the profits. So you're basically like, the most you can lose is $50. The most you can gain is basically, I'm not going to say infinite, because you know you have to be a very good trader to be infinite. Maybe Josh could get to infinity. Not many others can get to infinity. But yeah, it's only because Josh did sniper school. If you hadn't, Josh, admit that if you hadn't done sniper school, you'd never be able to do these things.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. 100%, yeah, 100%
true. 100% true. You're right. All right, chaps, I'm going to get onto a plane. I will see you guys again tomorrow. And tomorrow my hair will be much better. It'll be cleaner. It'll be like a more normal. My tan will be a bit back to its normal thing. I'll feel a bit better. I'll be more hydrated. And I'm going to carry on bringing you the most amazing fucking alpha. And I'm reminding you that if you haven't smashed the like button, smash the like button. Then run go to the mother party. No, I went to the after party of the Formula One. Then what? Just remember, about 5 or 6 hours after the show, Token 2049 show drops. It explodes on the channel. It comes from the sky. Anyway, I've got to pack. Holy shit, I really do have to pack. See you guys again tomorrow. Until then, trade well, my friends.